Looking for a job isn't easy. It used to be that you could apply at a big name tech company and build a great career for yourself. But times have changed. Many of these companies have gone full woke. And if you aren't the right gender, ethnicity, you don't use pronouns, or if you're not an activist for the preferred cause, then good luck. Why would you risk your career on that? At Red Balloon, we're connecting good employees with top quality companies that value you for your skills and your work ethic, not your social activism score. Employers who post jobs on Red Balloon are focused on creating an enjoyable and productive work culture, free from divisive woke mandates. So if you want to find a serious career path without the nonsense, come to Red Balloon and post your resume today. Because you shouldn't have to choose between your job and your values. That's redballoon.work, where you can find your future.
Friends, if you haven't noticed, we live in a time where world leaders and supranational globalist organizations have created and used global crises and threats in order to amass more power and wealth for themselves, justifying their tyranny under the guise of doing what makes for a safe, free, and prosperous society. Where have I seen that before?
And the Jedi Rebellion has been foiled.
What's happened?
The Chancellor's been elaborating on a plot by the Jedi to overthrow the Senate.
A remaining Jedi will be hunted down and defeated.
The attempt on my life has left me scarred and deformed. But I assure you, my resolve has never been stronger.
In order to ensure the security and continuing stability, the Republic will be reorganized into the First Galactic Empire for a safe and secure society.
This is how liberty dies, with thunderous applause.
For a safe and secure society, yes, friends, it appears that what was once fiction has been taken as an instruction manual and is now fact. Nations and globalist groups are developing their own currencies to unseat the U.S. dollar as the world standard, and they're creating and implementing central bank digital currencies to activate their totalitarianism. TD, probably the most woke of all the big banks in Canada, is leading the charge with their seemingly benign but totally corrupt digital banking agreement. What can we do, you might ask? Well, we don't have all the answers, but we want to help you think biblically and wisely about these things, and we want to say unequivocally, you do not have to be afraid. It's April 20th. I'm Andrew DiBartolo. That's Matt Halleck. And this is the Liberty Dispatch.
Hey, hey, and welcome to the Liberty Dispatch, broadcasting across enemy lines into the Canadian culture war. We're so thankful to have you back with us on the program, and we would just ask, wherever you're getting our content from, that you would like, subscribe, rate, and review so we can get that content out to more people. Also, be sure to hit that notification bell so that you can stay up to date with everything that we have going on at the Liberty Coalition Canada. We are also on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. That's flfnetwork.com, flfnetwork.com, where you can get our shows as well as all the other shows that are on the network, and there are some wonderful shows. So you definitely want to go over there. Also, be sure, if you want to get all those shows directly on your phone on demand. You can get the Fight Laugh Feast Network app at your Google Play or your Apple App Stores. Everything Liberty Coalition Canada is over at our website, libertycoalitioncanada.com. That's libertycoalitioncanada.com. So be sure to go over there and get that. Also, we would ask that you would prayerfully consider leaving a donation while you're over on that page as we continue to build this institution and fight back against mainstream media lies and continue to advocate for your civil rights and freedoms through our various legal advocacy as well as our initiatives, which we're so thankful. We have just announced our latest initiative, which is this school walkout in support of Josh Alexander. So we would just ask that you would go over to libertycoalitioncanada.com/LCC/walkout and get all of the information for that brand new initiative over there. And please help us by leaving a donation so we can continue to do these very important things and many other things that we have coming down the pike that I know you will be interested in. So thank you so much for your support already, and we would just ask that you would prayerfully consider supporting us yet again so we can continue to build and grow. Mr. Andrew,
that's mailbag me.
Question. Mailbag at libertycoalitioncanada.com. What do we got?
Who do you bank with? And if you bank with one of the big fives, what's wrong with you? Like, I mean that. Like, why are you still banking with these woke, globalist, ESG-friendly companies that have no problem offering up your personal information to the federal government or provincial government in order to freeze your assets because you're a part of the fringe minority? So if you're still banking with the big five, I want to know why. Maybe it's because you're saying, listen, the way my investments work or my mortgage is locked in, you know, maybe that's why. If you're not banking with one of the big fives, then I'd love to know why and with whom. Are you with a credit union? Have you abandoned banks altogether and you're keeping all the money under your mattress or gold and silver locked away somewhere buried in the backyard? I don't need to know your address. If you want to send some of that gold and silver and cash our way, we won't say no. So you can definitely support the work that we're doing here. We will take gold donations. We will take silver donations. We will take cash donations. We'll figure out a way to do it. And hint, hint, we're in the process of developing donations anonymously through Bitcoin. So we're working with our friends over at Bull Bitcoin to develop an anonymous Bitcoin donation button platform on our website if you want to give that way. So if you just been like, I want to give to you guys, I've wanted to give to you guys for a year now, but I only feel comfortable anonymously through Bitcoin, well, I hope you've been saving all that money because now is the time to unload all of it. But seriously, where do you bank? Why have you moved out of the big five? Personally, we moved out of a big five bank the moment assets were frozen during the convoy. That was the final straw for us. Both the church and the family moved into a credit union, and we moved all our investments to somewhere else as well. And not surprisingly, over with Rocklink Investment Partners, they now manage all our investments. So that's us.
Yeah.
So mailbag at libertycoalitioncanada.com. And if you seriously do want to send gold or silver, let me know and give you my address. So moving on. You might think that woke politics and medical tyranny have destroyed the Canadian workplace, but did you know that some companies are standing up and saying no? Over 2,000 companies have pledged to honor free speech and medical privacy at redballoon.work, and Red Balloon is here in Canada. So, business owners, you can find top-tier values-aligned talent and get help building an uncancelable pro-freedom workplace. Job seekers, find a courageous company that shares and protects your values. Go sign up today at redballoon.work/LCC. Again, that's redballoon.work/LCC. So the theme of today's episode is the globalist empire strikes back. That little clip we showed earlier, if you don't remember, or if you've tried to block out the prequel trilogy from your mind, except now after having seen the last three movies, it makes the prequel look like the Godfather trilogy compared to the junk. I didn't even watch the last one, mostly because Disney's a woke mess and I didn't want to give them my money. But I couldn't bear to see I liked about Star Wars be drugged through the mud and retconned and damaged.
I didn't mind the first one because I was like, oh, they're setting this up.
Sure, it was palatable in the same way.
The second one was so palatable.
You
bad.
Put salt and oil. Yeah, it's gross. So, yeah. And I didn't see the third one. So, yeah. Anyways, what we see is basically under the guise of, oh, there's a threat, there's danger, safe and security. We need to centralize everything, and we don't have individual sovereign nation states. The different planets don't have their own authority. It's now an empire, and I'm in charge of it. So that's basically been the last 3 years. The last 3 years have been threats and crises in order to usher in a globalist empire that has a very few people controlling the levers of power, financially, health-wise, militarily, and this is where we are. So one of the things that we see that has come up as a result of this is a centralization of banking and currencies and moving all things towards digital to a cashless society, because it is much easier to maintain control and monitoring and surveillance, and you flip a switch here and there, you freeze a bank account, and everyone's bought into this. Everyone's bought into this. So today's episode will be focusing on what we're seeing happening in the States, what we're seeing happening on a global level, and then we're going to zoom right back in on what's happening in Canada, and we have a little bit of a special guest toward the end of the episode, not dealing specifically with these things, but whose company and organization offers what I think for Canadians to be a very helpful way to move forward and to thrive and push ahead in the days ahead as things become more centralized and controlled. So we'll get into that in a little bit. So leading off, on March the 15th of this year, the Federal Reserve announced a July launch of its FedNow service, which will enable all U.S. banks to offer instant payments 24/7 and will constitute the infrastructure of a central bank digital currency, a CBDC, by linking each banking node directly to the Federal Reserve, according to financial experts. FedNow, quote, will enable all the banks, any bank in the United States, not just the big ones, to offer instantly available funds in real-time payments to their customers, explained Fed Chair Jerome Powell before the House Financial Services Committee on March the 8th. According to a Federal Reserve press release, which we've linked to, many early adopters plan on using the FedNow service in July upon its launch, quote, including a diverse mix of financial institutions of all sizes, the largest processors, and the U.S. Treasury, close quote. Now, this is right from the press release. Quote, the Federal Reserve banks are developing the FedNow service to facilitate nationwide reach of instant payment services by financial institutions, regardless of size or geographic location, around the clock, every day of the year. Through financial institutions participating in the FedNow service, businesses and individuals will be able to send and receive instant payments at any time of day, and recipients will have full access to funds immediately, giving them greater flexibility to manage their money and make time-sensitive payments. Access will be provided through the Federal Reserve's FedLine network, which serves more than 10,000 financial institutions directly or through their agents. So there it is. Many, many, many different individual banks, businesses, people, organizations, all separate. What we need to do is we need to bring it all together, centralize, link them all, and everything filters all the way down to a single source, which monitors the whole thing, which has hands in the whole things, which is the Federal Reserve. That's what we're talking about here.
And it has merely a quasi-independent relationship with the actual federal government, right? That's essentially what people are going to be doing. They're going to be banking directly with the federal government, essentially, in the system. So, financial advisor Joe Brown has warned that the Fed now serves as the foundation or infrastructure for a CBDC, bringing the country only a step away from deployment of a central bank digital currency once the Fed now system is fully functioning and in place. Brown explained, this infrastructure bypasses a lot of the need for the current banking infrastructure, which is the purpose of a central bank digital currency. Eventually, every single economic participant has an account directly with the Federal Reserve, the central bank, and then you don't need any of the decentralized nodes of the financial system, the previously existing banks. Brown continued, this transforms the purpose of the entire banking system really into infrastructure for the CBDC, noting that it would centralize everything under one roof. And once the system is built, once all the kinks are worked out in the system, then they will have the foundation in place to build the Gen 2, the version 2 of the CBDC on top of it all. The only thing that would be left to do would be to have everybody open an account directly with the Fed. So that's what I'm talking about. This is essentially moving people towards, instead of a free banking system where there's a bunch of different banks that you can choose to leave your money in, this is one homogenized, centralized bank, essentially banking directly with the federal government, and that creates all sorts of concerns about the command and control of the economy if this were to take place.
But Matt, I mean, this is just the United States has come up with this idea on its own, right?
And
it's just
Of course, no one else has.
But even though other nations have, we could say that, listen, good ideas, right? If it's a really, really great, wonderful, super, super, de-duper good idea, then everyone looks at the idea and on their own, right, of their own accord, says, well, this is something we should adopt, right? Like everyone agrees that chocolate cake is amazing. Right? Chocolate cake is better than mud pie. So you don't have to force anyone. You don't have to create messaging to people to say, hey, everyone, chocolate cake is better. And then everyone decides on their own, right? Well, actually, no, that's not at all what's happened here. That, like we've said before on the show, in a sporting goods head office fashion, you have this central head office location, which is distributing among all of its stores and all of its retailers. Here's what you need to do. Here's the play. Here's the product. Here's the advertising. Here's the messaging. Here are the benefits. Here are the specs. And they're pushing it out everywhere. So I want to read something directly from the WEF website, which we've posted in the description. And you tell me as I read this, if you spot the similarities between this wording and what we've just read with regard to FedNow and what we're going to be reading later on with Global Currencies and TD Bank. So, from the WEF website, quote, for an implementation to be successful, it is imperative that a CBDC has a strong value proposition prior to implementation. These questions need to be answered beforehand. Why is a CBDC being released? What are the policy objectives and the trade-offs in achieving the aforesaid policy objectives, subject to local requirements? What design choices will address the aforesaid policy objectives to the greatest extent possible? These are just some of the questions that central banks need to consider before embarking on implementing a central bank digital currency. And I'll note that when you go to the press release website from the Fed, and when you link to the TD Bank digital banking agreement, you will see these questions are being addressed specifically to incentivize people and to eliminate any fear or concern or worry. WEF website continues. Currently, central bank digital currencies may be developed solely by the central banks or in close cooperation with the private sector. There's that public-private partnership that Matt likes to talk about and bring up always, right? It's a centralizing of things as opposed to having things fragmented and decentralized. No, let's just bind it all together. Continuing, while government regulators, central banks should increase their monitoring and supervision capabilities, that doesn't sound dystopian, the private sector can help speed up the rate of innovation by supporting with compliance, appropriate design choices for various composable elements of central bank digital currencies, and being implementation partners. So that's this is exactly what we see in the language of the Fed, of TD. What they're saying is this is going to make things easier. This is going to make things more convenient. This is going to speed it up. Don't worry. And they all say, don't worry about privacy. It's all optional. We're not forcing you to do anything now, at least.
Yeah.
And they're addressing these concerns. And what they're saying is same thing. We're going to see this in the TD digital bank agreement.
Yeah.
This working together, private, public, we can come together in order to do what's best and most wonderful for the population.
Yeah.
Matt, I'm sure you don't have any thoughts on any of that.
Well, so just for the sake of time, because we have a jam-packed episode, I'm going to just link in the description for our listeners. If you want to get some in-depth articles on just what this would mean, go into the description, read through the various articles that I'm going to post, because there's going to be ones about the central bank digital currency, talking about all the negative ramifications of what it possibly could mean. There's also going to be articles pertaining to how there's a push now from media outlets, including the Toronto Star, to say, given the new world order that is emerging, and how it's centralizing all power into small locales to compete with nations like China, we must get rid of capitalism and its flexibility. But I just want to wrap things up in a nutshell. Basically, what the CBDC would mean is all payments would be monitored directly and tracked directly by a centralized agency with basically full government control. That's essentially what it's going to be moving towards. So anonymity is totally destroyed in this system. This is happening in the context of, yes, what happened in the Freedom Convoy movement, where our government directly went against political actors who were against their prescribed political policies. It was a political hit job that was going directly at people's wallets. Well, this will allow them to do that in a streamlined fashion, just like that. And it also is in the current context of places like PayPal, other banks across the world, just shutting off people who don't have the correct political opinion. And what that would mean is, if it's just centralized in this homogenous unit, is that person who's cut off by that bank or PayPal has no longer has an option to go to someone else that will actually bank with them. They're totally cut out of the economic system in its entirely. And then you have some more technical things like the government being able to easily manipulate currencies, the purchasing power of money, negative interest rates that would force people to actually spend their money and stuff. That's all technical stuff that I'll let experts in the economy explain for you in some of the articles that I'll link in the show note. But those are all of the concerns, and pardon me.
Yeah, and the CBDC is the precursor. It is the first step toward implementing and rolling out a social credit score system and yes, actually having it function. And this, by the way, mm-hmm, is why these ghouls hate something like Bitcoin so much,
because it's
and why they're so intent to talk about how much they despise it. So we're also going to link in the description a video. I was having a good chat with our friends at Bull Bitcoin the other day, and I was asking for some resources. So there's a video that they've sent me, and mm-hmm, I think it's around the 20-minute mark. Don't hold me to that. We'll put it in the description, where the person in the video will unpack the real potency of Bitcoin and the strength of it and the security of it, and even how in the midst of things going digitally, mm-hmm, right, one of the concerns is if it's all digital, then Bitcoin's a problem. It addresses how the nature of Bitcoin and the decentralization of it leads to a kind of security that it seems counterintuitive, but it actually isn't. And while we're talking about our friends at Bull Bitcoin, our federal government's response to economic difficulties is to print money until it's worthless, driving up the cost of everything, essentially stealing from your hard-earned pay. They clearly want to monitor your spending by way of a CBDC, and they want to control you by way of digital ID. So what you need to do is you need to take control of your own resources and be responsible for your own money, which is your responsibility. Bull Bitcoin wants to help you do just that. Bull Bitcoin is a 100% self-funded, freedom-minded Canadian Bitcoin exchange that wants to protect your financial freedom and help you protect your resources. If you're at all aware of what's going on in our country, then you should seriously consider connecting with my friends over at Bull Bitcoin and consider purchasing some Bitcoin today. Sign up at mission.bullbitcoin.com/LCC and have all your questions answered. Bull Bitcoin is the exchange that I personally trust for all of my own Bitcoin purchases. That's mission.bullbitcoin.com/LCC.
And Andrew, just before we move on to our second story here, the reason that governments hate our friends over at Bull Bitcoin and those who are pushing for a decentralized digital currency is because they want a centralized digital currency, is they see the potency of a digital currency and they just want to absolutely control it all so they can manipulate the game to their benefit. And that's what we're seeing, why they're going hard at something like Bitcoin. And that's ever more a reason why our listeners should consider at least putting some of their money into Bull Bitcoin, given its decentralized nature. So, Andrew, the CBDC being rolled out south of the border is not alone. We're seeing this as just one step in a continued movement of banks and governments moving towards a central bank digital currency. And we're seeing that now rolled out by the International Monetary Fund announcing their own CBDC.
It sounds like an evil and a villainous organization in a Bond movie is exactly what it sounds like. And that's exactly what they are.
Yeah. And the IMF is literally like the financial side of the WEF. It's like totally connected formally. It's important to know. So they are, Andrew, rolling out this new coin that they want to introduce called the Unicoin. So this comes to us from the PR Newswire. On April 10th, at the International Monetary Fund, that's the IMF, Spring Meetings 2023, the Digital Currency Monetary Authority, the DCMA, announced their official launch of an international central bank digital currency that strengthens the monetary sovereignty of participating central banks and complies with the recent crypto assets policy recommendations proposed by the IMF. The Universal Monetary Unit, the UMU, is legally a money commodity which can transact in any legal tender settlement currency and functions like a CBDC to enforce banking regulations and to protect the financial integrity of the international banking system. Adopting a global localization public monetary system architecture, UMU can be configured to operate according to the central banking regulations of each participating jurisdiction. Universal Monetary Unit Model Law legislation has been drafted in collaboration with several sovereign nations. In this proposed legislation, UMU should not be enacted as a legal tender for negotiating domestic prices or for international trade agreements. Instead, the legislation proposes UMU to be enacted as a complementary money commodity for the store of value, mitigating against potential seasonal and systemic local currency depreciation, and tendered as a payment currency at the time of settlement. So there you have it. It's not
just good here enough. To help. That's all.
Yeah. It's not good enough that we centralize one nation's currency. Let's do a conglomerate, something like the EU, right? Or the euro. That's what this would set up easily for, is a central bank digital currency of multiple sovereign so-called nations.
So we've linked to an article from Zero Hedge, and this is what the article has to say about this story. The Universal Monetary Unit, also known as Unicoin, is an international central digital bank currency that has been designed to work in conjunction with all existing national currencies. This new universal monetary unit was created by the Digital Currency Monetary Authority. So, who in the world is the Digital Currency Monetary Authority? The press release says that the organization consists of, quote, sovereign states, central banks, commercial and retail banks, and other financial institutions. The DCMA is a world leader in advocacy of digital currency and monetary policy innovations for governments and central banks. Membership within the DCMA consists of sovereign states, central banks, commercial and retail banks, and other financial institutions. Now, the UK has been working on a CBDC, as well as the European Union. Now, this comes right from the White House website. We already talked about the United States, but this is right from the White House website. Quote, a United States central bank digital currency would be a digital form of the US dollar. While the US has not yet decided whether it will pursue a CBDC, it's a lie, of course they have, the U.S. has been closely examining the implications of and options for issuing a CBDC. If the U.S. pursued a CBDC, no, they're going to, okay? But if they pursued, according to the website here, there could be many possible benefits, such as facilitating efficient and low-cost transactions, fostering greater access to the financial system, boosting economic growth, and supporting the continued centrality of the U.S. within the international financial system. So it's quite humorous that here you have a massively inflated managerial state in the United States government talking about efficiency, which they are not efficient, low cost, that's a joke. Greater access, that's also a joke. Boosting economic growth, they don't know anything about that. All they know how to do is destroy economies. So anyway, so the IMF is also putting together a handbook to assist banks and governments to roll out their CBDC. How very wonderful and thoughtful of them. So according to former People's Bank of China Deputy Governor and current IMF Deputy Managing Director Bo Li, quote, the handbook will be a compendium of knowledge and experience on CBDC. It will be the basis for capacity development and hopefully will help countries make as well-informed decisions as possible when taking a major step to design and issue their own CBDC. So if you remember what I mentioned earlier about head office wanting to roll out a new product, mm-hmm. Right, here's this new thing, and so what needs to go with it? The specs manual, the instruction manual, the little booklet that highlights this is what the thing is, mm-hmm. This is how you need to sell it, this is why your customers need it, here are the specs, here's what it's made of, here are the benefits to it. That's exactly what's happening here, that the product is the CBDC, these global currencies, and so this handbook, which will probably be fun and artistic and user-friendly, mm-hmm. will be given to our elites to ram this down our throat. And what the way they're going to do it is going to be similar to what we're going to see in just a minute with regard to the TD Digital Banking Agreement. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a 28-page word salad full of gobbledygook that it seems benign and seems like, okay, whatever, not a big deal. And yet buried deep within the document is tyranny. That's what we're seeing here, and that's what the IMF is doing.
And no doubt it will be in accord with the UN Sustainable Development Goals 2030 for a safe and sustainable and secure future. Right.
A safe and secure society.
Yes, exactly. And that's it could be understood.
That was more Alex Jones than Emperor Palpatine,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, well.
I got to work on my Emperor Palpatine. That was a little too Alex Jonesy for me.
It's probably an appropriate admixture, given the fact that what we're essentially seeing here is...
Touché, Matt.
The great economic reset. That's essentially what this is ushering in, is the great economic reset, the new world order in economics that is ushering in this new fourth industrial revolution. That's what we're seeing. That's the way that governments across the globe and banking systems and banks and big institutions and supranational institutions like the WEF and the IMF, that's the direction that they're all going. And we should all be very concerned about what that could possibly mean about our actual assets, our actual monetary future, and about ultimately the freedom that we have to bank, to deal with our money as we see fit. It should scare everybody because it will affect everybody. That's how systemic this change indeed is.
So, do you ever wonder if your money is safe? I feel like that question is quite apropos. In a world where banks are failing and accounts are being frozen, it can be easy to feel hopeless, fearful, or overwhelmed. That is exactly why our show has partnered with Rocklink Investment Partners. The team at Rocklink will be able to give you advice that is both relevant to your faith and values and also geared to helping you achieve your financial goals. Stop putting your trust in institutions that lie to you and are doing all they can to remove your faith from the public square. Call the investment professionals at Rocklink at 905-631-5462 or email them at info@rocklink.com to see exactly how they can help you and your family. So the states, they're doing their thing. The IMF, they're doing their thing. A couple episodes ago, we talked about BRICS nations, those five nations coming together that they want to create their own. They're creating their own global currency to unseat the United States dollar as the world standard. How about Canada? So we've seen the freezing of bank accounts during the convoy, which, by the way, I believe it was the BC legislature just voted the other day to not only condemn the Freedom Convoy and say that the federal government's response in both invoking the War Measures Act and freezing the assets was good and justified. So congratulations, BC. Congratulations, BC. You are now that much closer to Ontario in being the worst province in the country. You're not quite there yet, but you're pretty darn close. I mean, that's you're just right there. But Ontario, still the worst.
And also, Andrew, we just saw a news article released as well from Rebel that kind of highlights the fact that that Freeland and her department were really trying to put plenty of pressure to unlock and uncover supposed you know, financial contributions that would be linked to terrorist groups or some sort of foreign funder that would be really bad. And despite that push, they never actually found that evidence, but that was used as the predicate for invoking the War Measures Act, the Emergencies Act, and then freezing these bank accounts. So we're seeing this collusion by political officials.
Homeschool mom sending $100. Homeschool mom from Arkansas sending $100 to the Freedom Convoy. Bad. China giving $200,000 to the Trudeau Foundation. That's okay.
Yeah,
that's okay.
They're not going to look that hard into it.
Welcome to clown world. So, how else is this touching down in Canada? Well, if you're a TD customer, side note, get the heck out of TD. Back to the main path. Perhaps you've received this letter regarding some changes coming to TD. Now, not everyone has. Maybe you received this letter. This is right from the letter, which we've linked to. We've linked to a PDF of the letter in the description. Quote, effective April 24th, 2023, that's this coming Monday, we will be changing the cardholder and electronic financial services terms and conditions, the CEFST. The CEFST sets out the terms and conditions for things like your TD Access card, EasyWeb online banking, and the TD app. We will be splitting the CEFST into two agreements, the digital banking agreement and the access agreement. We did this to make your experience easier when you access features within EasyWeb online banking and the TD app. We also made the agreement easier for you to understand. There is no action needed from you to accept these changes. You can continue to use your TD Access card, EasyWeb online banking, or the TD app as you normally do. You won't be charged any additional fees from these changes. Well, that's great. It's not going to cost me anything, except for my freedom and my privacy. Those are definitely some additional fees. So you get down into the nitty-gritty of the document, and under location sharing, what do we see? What is location sharing? We use location sharing to identify the physical location of the device you use for digital banking. This helps us to do things like customize offers, reminders and information for you, market to you, help you find TD locations, and help protect your security and prevent fraud. When will we use location sharing? You can choose if you want to turn on location sharing. You don't have to. We won't turn it on without your consent. Except during the COVID-19 era, when cell phones in Canada that didn't opt in had their location monitored by the federal government in conjunction with Health Canada in order to see where people were. So don't believe that. For now, they'll need your consent, but all it takes is the right War Measures Act invocation and they don't need it anymore. What about privacy? So this is under privacy. At the time you ask to begin a relationship with us, during the course of our relationship, we may share your information with our worldwide affiliates. That sounds terrifying. And collect, use, and disclose your information as described in the privacy agreement, the privacy code, the online privacy code, and the mobile apps privacy code, which again, for now, because eventually they'll be able to share it, collect it, use it, and disclose it any way they deem. And you'll see in a bit why I say that, why they can change it willy-nilly. It doesn't matter what you have to say about it. So under card credentials or PIN, we can add or remove services from time to time. We can change what you can do with your card, credentials, or PIN, or how you can use them at any time. We don't have to give you notice. I'm just reading from the letter. We don't have to give you notice. We can change how you conduct services at any time. We don't have to give you notice unless required by law. These are buried. These are little lines that are buried in this letter that you have to dig for. I mean, this is deeply, deeply concerning.
Yeah, and it's only going in one direction, right? The centralization and the command and control of the monetary situation in such a way that it diminishes the freedom, the personal freedom, the individual liberties of Canadian citizens. And it continues on, Andrew, and here's a quote directly from TD's banking services. Quote, if you'd like to talk about the changes, please contact us. If you don't think they fit your needs, you can refuse them by contacting us by May 24th, 2023. If you decide to refuse these changes, however, you won't be able to use EasyWeb online banking, the TD app, or your TD Access card. TD Mobile Deposit, TD For Me, TD My Spend, TD Clary, aka Automated Bank Teller. These are the app features offered. Some of the privacy terms for digital banking have been consolidated to be easier to find and read. The terms themselves have not changed substantially. You may be reminded about them or asked to consent to additional terms from time to time when using digital banking. TD has also combined the terms of your TD Access card, PIN, and credentials from CEFST into the Access Agreement and updated some of the terms and conditions. TD has released also a 28-page document in fine print just to inform you of the changes they have made, all in the name of convenience and safety. And that, again, Andrew, as we've said on the program, convenience
and secure society. Like, you need, can you, like, that's what, that's in your mind what you need to have, the picture. Yeah.
We just need to cut that audio.
Dark Lord. What's his Sith name? Darth Sidious, right?
Yes.
Darth Pelagius?
No, Darth Sidious, I think.
It's Darth Sidious. Yeah, Pelagius is his mentor, I think. So here you have the Sith Lord, the Sith Lord Sidious, right? Mm-hmm. Saying, feigning care as Emperor Palpatine, right? That's mm-hmm. the mask. Mm-hmm. Saying, really, this is for us safe and secure. Says, hear that every time you hear these globalists talking about convenience and safety.
Yeah. And this is a tale as old as time, right? When we look at that Star Wars clip, it wasn't invented by George Lucas in a film lab, right? He was basing this progression from Republic to Empire basically off the movement of the Roman Empire, how for safety and security and sustainability, mm-hmm. the once free and great Roman Empire slowly became a despotic tyranny as it morphed into an empire. And that is the movement that we're seeing our current governments go towards, and the implementation of centralized command and control banking options like this only allows them to further manipulate and control our lives so that they can wrest power away from the decentralized individuals and give it to themselves. Now, they say it's for safety and security, but this is a tale as old as time. They set themselves up as the benefactors in order to lord it over us, as our Lord
said. That's what they said. So people might say, oh, that's thousands of years ago. That's what they said during the French Revolution.
Yes.
That's what the Bolsheviks said at the turn of the 19th century. Mm-hmm. This is exactly the same sort of thing that Hitler said as the Nazi party was rising, as it was democratically elected, mm-hmm. but then quickly turned into what was for the safety and security and the flourishing of the German people. And so mm-hmm. we don't have to go all the way back to two millennia. We can just look within the last 100 years and see examples of supposedly Western democratic mm-hmm. countries, societies becoming full-on tyrants, fascists, and demolishing their own people, all under the guise of safety and security and what's best for us and what's most flourishing for us. So we obviously want to address this from a biblical perspective, and also we wanted to mention and say, here's some things you need to be thinking about. Here's some practical steps you can take. Mm-hmm. here's some things you need to put into place to be wise, to be a good steward. But before we do that, we actually want to bring on John Porter. Mm-hmm. John Porter is a friend of the program, and we have a little bit of a relationship that we want to announce to you, our audience. John Porter has been in the barter payment space for 25 years. He's the founder and CEO of BarterPay, the largest and fastest growing business-to-business barter system in Canada. He's also the founder and president of the BarterPay It Forward Foundation, a national registered charity that helps businesses give back to their local community without using cash. John is currently developing Barter It, a person-to-person barter system that will be Canada's parallel economy for the people. John has been married to his childhood sweetheart, Debbie, for 27 years. They have grown sons, and they live in the Niagara region in Ontario. John, thank you for joining us on The Dispatch. It is a timely interview, given the discussion we've been having so far.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's just such a pleasure to be here. Super grateful for this opportunity, guys.
Awesome. Good to meet you, brother.
John, let's just dive right in. Tell us how barter pay works. What is it? How does it work? Let's just get right into the nitty gritty.
Sounds good. So barter pay at this point, we're really a national community impact enterprise that helps thousands of businesses across the country get the things that they need without having to use cash, right? They can just pay for those things using their own goods and services. And, you know, we all know that bartering is the oldest form of commerce, but for two businesses to enter into a fair trade, each side has to want what the other person has at the same time and at the same value. It's actually called the coincidence of wants. And those things are hard to line up. And so all we've done is built a platform that helps businesses open an account with BarterPay. They can then offer up their goods or services to the system. We focus on what's called their spare capacity. What that means is for service-based businesses, unsold time, space. For product-based businesses, that's kind of like idle inventory. And they can sell these things onto the system, market them. In exchange, they earn barter credits. One barter credit equals $1 Canadian for valuation purposes. And the beauty of it is, guys, they can take this newly earned stream of barter credits that don't ever expire, and they can go and use them anywhere in the entire bartering ecosystem in BarterPay to get the things that they need to improve their business and conserve cash. And so instead of this sort of one-to-one bartering conundrum, it's this one-to-many sharing economy, this bartering system that everybody's working together to monetize their spare capacity in real time, get those barter credits, and then use them to offset costs in the future, which is a nice boost to their bottom line for these small independent business owners across the country.
Yeah, and that's really interesting because, you know, a lot of economists will say that barter system is relatively low technology as far as economics, and it's not all that streamlined, it's not all that efficient and all effective, but it sounds like you have built-in mechanisms to get around that natural inefficiency within the barter system. So that's really, really quite cool. So maybe, John, for our listeners, to help them understand, maybe you could give us a couple examples of how this would actually take place from person to person and within this barter pay ecosystem.
For sure. Yeah. So the barter pay is a B2B, so business to business. We'll talk about the person to person in a second with barter it. But for barter pay, essentially, a couple of real life examples, it really drives it home, right? Like you just mentioned. So we had like a restaurant in Hamilton, Ontario, that was looking for a new sign for the front of their restaurant. And they went out and got three quotes just like they normally would. But instead of actually just spending their hard-earned cash, which was around $5,000 for the new sign, they made the smart choice. They opened an account with BarterPay. We then offered up their gift cards to the network. They quickly earned in the first couple of weeks about $5,000 worth of barter credits from the sale of those gift cards. And then they took those barter credits and they used them with the sign company in Burlington that was part of the BarterPay system. So they were able to offset that $5,000 cash expenditure with $5,000 worth of issuing their new gift, like their gift cards, into the barter economy. And then, you know, their cost to actually redeem those gift cards is really only at their food cost, which is like 30 cents on the dollar, right? So there's a huge cash savings by being able to barter for what they need. And there's also this sort of built-in marketing mechanism that gets those gift cards out into the barter pay ecosystem in the hands of people who've never been at that restaurant before. And so, yeah, that's just one example. You know, we have solopreneurs doing small transactions, some medium-sized businesses doing, you know, $5,000 to $10,000 transactions. We even have one business based in Alberta. They're a big retailer, and they sold about $600,000 worth of overstock, brand new merchandise, just they had extra of it. They banked those barter credits, and now next month, actually, they're going to be spending them on a new digital pricing system for the pilot on two of their locations. In one transaction, it will be the single largest transaction that we've completed to date, 480,000 barter credits to replace that cash expenditure in one shot. So you can imagine for that company, instead of having to pull $500,000 cash out of the bank, they're now just switching 500 grand worth of idle inventory for that item using this barter pay mechanism, and saving a ton of cash in the process.
Brilliant.
So what you're basically saying is that despite the fact that our elected officials who run financial institutions who would say, no, we're putting things in place to be low cost and efficient, even though that's a joke, it appears that here's another example of the private sector, free market, innovating in such a way that it really is efficient and low cost, right? It's much more cost effective and efficient. And so, I mean, this is a fantastic option for businesses that want to make the most for their resources, where you're not wasting time, you're not wasting resources, and you're finding the most efficient, cost-effective way to benefit and also to help like-minded businesses. So, I mean, I'm curious, and I'm sure our audience is curious to know, how did you start BarterPay? Why did you start BarterPay? Like, what's a little bit of behind the history of the company?
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for that summary. That was great. So basically, back in 1996, I was going to be heading to Waterloo University to study civil engineering. And to save money for school, I joined, I got a part-time job selling door-to-door alarm systems, actually. And I bumped into a gentleman at that business that happened to know another guy who was sort of in the barter payment space in Toronto. This is in the mid-90s. And they hosted a convention. A bunch of the barter companies out of the US that were just getting going decided to come to that convention. I was there at the final dinner. I heard somebody talking about coming into Canada. And I said, hey, I'll take on the first sort of BarterPay franchise, or sorry, not BarterPay, but the franchise for that company back in, let me just back up that. I'll help bring it into Canada. And so that was that. So it was way too early to market, to be quite honest. Like, you know, businesses weren't thinking about alternate forms of payment. It was like cash, check, Visa, MasterCard. The mindset of the business owner and the entrepreneur wasn't there. The technology wasn't there. And we just persevered. So I it's a funny story. I remember launching the barter economy back in 96, late 96. And the one thing we needed for our offices when we got going was a couple of workstations. So I got on the phone, the whip open the yellow pages, started cold calling office furniture companies. And I happened to come across a guy named Terry Webster in Ancaster, Ontario. And he said, yeah, I love bartering, love horse trading. You know, I just did a deal with McMaster University. I put in a whole bunch of new workstations, took out a bunch of their gently used stuff. It's sitting in my warehouse. I'll barter some of those for sure. Come see me. So I went there and saw him. I kind of pitched him the idea about this bartering economy that I was launching. He's like, yep, sign me up. I'll do, you know, three workstations. It'll be 3,000 these barter credits. And I knew it was coming. Halfway through the paperwork, I'm filling out his application. And he said to me, hey, John, wait, before I do this, you know, and I take on these barter credits for these workstations, where can I utilize them? And I said, Terry, honestly, like, you're the first one to join the network. There's nobody else in the country that you can utilize these barter credits with. You just have to trust me. Give me a wish list of some things that you might be looking for. I'll hustle. I'll go and get more businesses on board. And one by one, we'll just painstakingly, you know, build this barter economy. And that's what we did. So 25 years, it's been a real grind. I've been punched in the face for 25 years. Laughed at, ridiculed, like all about this building this barter economy. And when things, I actually tried to leave the barter business numerous times, you know, go to real estate or a construction company or just something that's easier, less headwinds and, you know, people like, you know, it's just hard to get adoption, right? And when March 2020 hit, I realized that for such a time as this, it really hit me that that's why we've been building this for the last quarter century to help these businesses, especially with what's coming down the pipeline.
Man, that's amazing. Very providential, obviously, that you have been preparing for a parallel economy decades before the need for that parallel economy, as we've been talking about on the program today, is actually, you know, before the people of Canada and the world. So I just think that's a wonderful story. Now, so you're primarily talking about BarterPay, business-to-business bartering system, but you guys have just recently launched BarterIt. So what will that look like? And what are we talking about when we're talking about the difference between BarterPay and this new program, BarterIt?
Yeah, so great question. Over the last decade, even, we've had people contact us from time to time and say, hey, you know, I don't own a business, but I offer piano lessons, or I have extra food, or I can walk people's dogs, or I'm a handy person, like, you know, whatever. So when March 2020 hit, though, these messages just went 10x. And then after the convoy, it went 25x. You know, people just, you know, these frozen bank accounts and whatnot, saying, "Hey, how do we prepare for an alternate form of exchange of value?" And so, we kind of put it off for 2020, 2021. We were just trying to, you know, survive through the stupid lockdowns that were going on for these small businesses. And when 2022 hit, though, we launched the Freedom Falcons hockey team, I said, and went to Ottawa. I said to Debbie, like, we gotta build this for the people. And so, yeah, about summertime, actually it was August of last year, we were on vacation and we built a little bit of a landing page at barterit.ca, put a little form up there to, you know, be notified when we launch. And we had like thousands of people hit that page just through, not even advertising, just through Instagram, who want to be notified when we launch this. So essentially the Barter It system is just going to be a peer-to-peer, person-to-person barter economy. You know, barter credits, instead of barter credits, we're calling them bits, barter its, B-I-T-S. One bit equals $1 for valuation purposes. And this is just going to give freedom-loving Canadians another way to exchange value without having to use the fiat system. They're able to, you know, barter what they have, get what they need. They can barter directly. It's going to be all about community meetups. It's going to be about creating pathways for a new medium of exchange. It's all about being prepared. You know, I'm not a doom and gloom guy. I'm all about solutions. And I just think that the Barter It is a very prudent thing for people to be a part of and to help, you know, get moving here across the country.
So, you know, John, one of the things we've been talking about in our episode today before we brought you on is we've been looking at the Federal Reserve, the EU, the UK, these various, you know, international bodies developing central bank digital currencies. We've been looking at new global currencies like the Unicoin or like the BRICS nations developing their global currency. And we just finished talking about the TD Bank digital agreement that comes into effect this Monday. And in all of these things, what we see is as Canadians are engaging in the economy, as they're buying, as they're selling, as they're using their bank apps, more and more what we're seeing is centralization, control, surveillance, monitoring. And we here at Liberty Dispatch, we want to help people not only be wise with their finances and wise with their resources and steward them well, that's what God requires of them to do, but be mindful of what's happening in the world around them. We want to offer them very practical, tangible ways for them to be more in control of their resources, to steward their wealth better, but also to be engaged in ways that are less and less about the centralizing control and monitoring, and more that support freedom and liberty, and that really grow businesses and individuals in a worthwhile way. So thinking about both Barter Pay and Barter It, and maybe it's the same answer for both, how is it that what you guys have created is a benefit to Canadians and really is it's something they need to be not only thinking about, but they need to research, they need to go to your websites, and they need to actually get involved and connected with what's going on. So how is this important for businesses and individuals in light of this move we see in the kind of global financial economic world?
Well, I think it just goes back to what I was just saying. Like, people want a new form of exchange of value, a new store of value as well. That's freedom focused. That's anti woke. That's all of the above, right? That you know, call us the fringe minority all you want, but it's becoming a majority, and it's a movement that's happening across the country. You know, being in the barter payment space, myself for a quarter century, my wife for a quarter century, our team for a combined over 200 years, we just feel like, you know, if not now, if not us, then who? If not now, then when? Kind of thing, and we just feel like literally a divine appointment that we're in the right place at the right time, again, for such a time as this, to build this parallel economy for the people, to give freedom-loving Canadians and all Canadians actually a way to be able to exchange value without having that control and the centralization, and without being scared that whatever they might say online or whatever, you know, that they're not going to have their account frozen and that sort of thing, and it can be done anonymously and so on and so forth. So one of the taglines for Barter It is the benefits of barter and the convenience of cash. We all know that they want to get rid of cash. We just feel that the Barter It economy with the bits currency is going to be a way for the bits points is going to be a way for freedom loving Canadians especially to be able to exchange value almost like cash. It'd be like literally replacement of cash. So I think it's prudent for people to, definitely research it, but get involved. Like, we need help. Like, we can't do this on our own. We need to get traction. We need to build momentum, and it's really starting to happen. We get a lot of support now from a lot of these, I call them freedom influencers across the country. Even obviously with LCC, I mean, we're having this conversation right now because you guys believe in what we're doing, and we're super, super grateful to you and to all the different media out there that's freedom loving and all the different people that are just rallying behind our cause and giving us this opportunity to actually serve these Canadians in this way.
So where can people go to learn more about Barter Pay and Barter It? And what do you want them to do when they go over to those various websites?
Yeah. So if you're a business owner in Canada right now, and you are actively running a business, you want to go to barterpay.ca. Once you land on barterpay.ca, you're going to click get started. We want to have a 15-minute discovery call with you, just to get to know you, get to know your business. We want to make sure there's a fit. We don't want to onboard you into our network if we don't feel there's an immediate fit. It rarely happens that there's not a fit, but it's just nice to have a conversation and give you the kind of the Coles notes on what we're up to, and just onboard you at that time. So if there's a fit, Cody or myself, whoever else on our biz dev team, we'll get your account set up. We'll actually connect you with a barter coach, a real life person that's going to help you manage your barter activity. They're going to act in two ways. Number one, they're going to help you market your goods and services out to the network for you to earn barter credits. And number two, on the flip side, they're going to help act like a concierge service for you to help you take that newly earned stream of barter credits and go and get some things from the system that you need. And so that gives you this opportunity to lean on your barter coach to help manage your barter activity while you still concentrate on the core business. Because we all know at this time, cash is still king. You can't pay your mortgage, you can't pay for your groceries, you can't pay for your fuel with barter credits yet. So it's all about guiding you along the process, coming alongside you as a business owner, and helping you integrate into the Barter Pay ecosystem in that way. For Barter It, this is for everybody. I mean, anybody in the country. We've had thousands of people hitting our website at barterit.ca. They're clicking through the website, but they're really clicking the Become a VIP. We just launched a special offer. It's not going to be available forever. As we're in the development stages of launching Barter It for the people later this year, people are buying these VIP memberships. Essentially, it's $197, and they get 1,000 bits points when we launch, which is worth $1,000 that they can go spend in the network right away as we launch that marketplace. And there's also hundreds of people becoming Barter It affiliates, where they get a custom link and they can help promote the system. Again, it's all about rallying together, linking arms, standing shoulder to shoulder across the country, and actually building the new economy. And we just, again, are honored and privileged and grateful and super blessed for this opportunity to serve everybody in this way.
Well, I mean, I can say that we are thrilled to be partnering with you guys at BarterPay and Barter It. The first conversation we had, John, all I heard was freedom-minded. All I heard was the importance of taking responsibility and a parallel economy, like being able to be wise with our resources, with our businesses, with other like-minded people in a way that's beneficial for us, that grows our businesses, that strengthens our own financial position. So we're not being wasteful, we're being efficient. And that is exactly the sort of business that we want to promote and we want to support here at Liberty Dispatch. Christian Week, our partner in media, we have we've signed up with Barter Pay, and so we have a barter coach, and I like Joe quite a bit. We've had a few great conversations, and I plan on meeting up with him the next time I'm in Toronto. So it's you definitely don't just feel like some other organization that is offering money and resources, but I mean, these are like-minded people. These are friends and allies in this. And so we're excited for that. I signed up as a VIP as well, and I would recommend everyone go do that before they're done. When you see the perks, what you get for $197 is definitely worth it. And so, we're quite pleased to have a partnership with you guys at Barter Pay and Barter It. And so what we'll tell our audience right now is, first of all, like you said, if you're a Canadian business owner, go to barterpay.ca, check out what's going on, sign up, get a barter coach. If, for example, you're a charity, let's say you're a registered charity, then reach out as well, because the Barter It Foundation is for you to take advantage of it as a charity as well. And so you own a business, charity, non-charity, go to barterpay.ca, sign up. Yeah. You can
churches as well.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep. Churches, any charity.
We know a
go
few
check
of those.
It out. Sign up. Yeah. It's of benefit to you. I was perusing through the Barter Mall the other day, and there's so much good stuff for people to take advantage of. And if you're an individual, go to barterit.ca, become a VIP, become an affiliate yourself. We are still in the process of nailing down what our links will be. So people who come, who sign on, who get an account, who get connected with BarterPay and barter it through us. So we're still sorting that out. Once we have those actual links for, you know, LCC Christian Week, we'll give them to our audience. But for now, go to the websites, business or individual, sign up, get info, get updated with things. This is exactly the sort of world and economy we need to build in the days ahead. And I'm thankful that it's been 25 years in the making to set us up for this point. So we look forward to more good things and hopefully more people taking responsibility for their businesses and their individual financial situation. Other than going to the websites, John, where else can people find you? What are some of your social media handles? How can we push people more and more in your direction?
Yeah, so my personal Instagram is at the Barter Coach, all one word, at the Barter Coach. But you really also want to follow at @barter_it. That's the main channel that we're speaking to freedom loving Canadians from. So at @barter_it is the main channel.
And that's on Instagram?
On Instagram. I'm on LinkedIn too, John Porter. I'm on, I've got a website, thebartercoach.ca. Again, the Barter Coach on Instagram. But really I'm doing most of our communication through at @barter_it.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, brother. It was really great meeting you, and I'm looking so very forward to our partnership with you at BarterPay and BarterIt. God bless you, brother.
Thank you so much. Blessings to you guys as well. Thanks for all you're doing.
So as we saw in that conversation with John Porter, BarterPay and BarterIt is one of the answers or one of the solutions to the problem of encroaching tyranny and surveillance and control and dependency upon the current systems in place. And so like John had said, right now cash is king, and right now in our world we're kind of dependent as the structures are to operate in that way. But something like BarterPay and BarterIt essentially eliminate that, and they make it so that you're dealing directly with individuals and businesses in order to get the things that you need and offer the things that you have outside of the overwhelming control. And so it's freedom-minded, you know, like John said, is one of the oldest forms of currency and trading and economies that we know. And so one thing that we would say as a way to deal with, you know, what seems to be a rather daunting, anxiety-creating episode about the globalist empire striking back would be definitely going to barterpay.ca and barterit.ca. That's one thing. Another thing I'll say, as we've said before, is we're fully confident and we believe very much in our friends over at Rocklink Investment Partners. I think one of the lessons is you need to get out of the big five banks yesterday. You need to be done. You need to open up accounts. Ideally, you know, start with a smaller credit union. They're not airtight. They're not, you know, fully tyranny proof when push comes to shove. But at the end of the day, it's a better decision now than it is going with one of these woke banks that's willing, at least they've openly said, we will hand over your information. We will freeze your accounts if we don't like
and,
you.
And Andrew, maybe somebody has to be a John Porter in the banking sector, right? We need people who are, given the urgency of the moment, who are thinking outside the box and who are going to provide a platform
start
for
your own credit
freedom
union.
Mind. Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. Why don't we have Christians? Why don't we have people across this land who are creating their own banks that are going to operate in a parallel economy for people who are freedom minded? We're seeing it, you know, not only are we talking about, you know, are these globalist supranational organizations and countries moving towards command and control, centralized economies. The way that we counteract that is by doing the very things that we're doing, by investing in businesses like BarterPay, BarterIt, by becoming affiliates or by signing up to those organizations, putting our money in companies like Rocklink, switching over from fiat currency to things like Bitcoin, gold, silver, these other areas. And Lord willing, meeting good communities that want to work hard and steward their money and provide for their families well by affiliating with Red Balloon. All of our advertisers are freedom-loving individuals who understand the Dominion mandate, understand the necessity for Christians to work hard, to steward their what God's given them well, and to do it for His glory. And that's why we're partnered with these people to promote this parallel economy, to give you the real-life solutions now to how to deal with what seems like this overwhelming situation, Andrew.
Yeah, so move your investments over to Rocklink.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of the big banks. Mm-hmm. Find all, and again, if you're thinking, well, I have questions, I don't know, what do I do about my banks? What do I do about my investments? Mm-hmm. Call our friends over at Rocklink. They can help you figure that out and help offer some real solutions. You know, as a general rule of thumb, my perspective is if the federal government hates it and despises it and is trying to dissuade you from it, it's probably something you should at least consider. And so clearly they don't like the idea of Bitcoin because mm-hmm. it's decentralized, whereas they want their centralized digital currency. Mm-hmm. So you really do need to consider. And so same thing, you might have questions like, is it really safe? If everything's going digital, is Bitcoin really the play? You know what? This is contact our friends over at Bull Bitcoin. Seriously, mm-hmm. call them up, reach out to them. Their customer service is second to none in terms of quickness of response and communicating in a way that it's understandable. Ask your questions about Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. Really ask all your questions. They can resource you. They can send videos and links and really help you understand what's going on. It's not unwise to think about diversifying some of your wealth into Bitcoin at the very least. And so, mm-hmm. yeah, reach out to our friends. There's a reason why we're partnering with them. Like you said, Matt, that we have a similar worldview in this way that we understand there's a certain way you need to view finances and economics as it relates to centralization, government overreach, and tyranny. Mm-hmm. And as usual, you know, I'll take another opportunity to say, if you haven't already, please get your kids out of state-run schools. Like they're not going to be teaching your children to think as freedom-minded, responsible citizens to view money correctly. They're just going to mm-hmm. churn out more cogs in this socialist, woke, behemoth system. Mm-hmm. So take your kids out of those state-run schools. You know, also, you need to make sure you're connected with a good church. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of these parallel systems have to function around local churches as the hub. Because when you get into dispute, you know, what's going to be the standard to regulate how we operate? Mm-hmm. What's going to help us determine what's right and what's wrong? It's connection to a good, solid church that is biblical, that elevates the law of God and the word of God, that is actually committed to obeying Christ and having him as Lord over the state, over the tyrants. These are not new things, right? These are not new answers. These are the same answers we've been coming back to over and over again, because these are the actual answers. These are the way mm-hmm. forward. And we understand that people, Matt and I included, can be stubborn and slow on the uptake. So we need to say these things over and over again. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's the 100th time of you hearing get your kids out of state-funded schools that you do so. Maybe it's the 200th time that you hear get connected with a solid local church that you finally do it. There's no new answers. There's nothing novel mm-hmm. here. It's mm-hmm. the same stuff. For your sake, for the sake of your children, for the resources that God has given you to steward, please, please heed some of our advice and direction. It will be good for you.
Yeah. And our task in this very moment is to build and to fight. And if you want us to build our institution, we would just ask that you would help donate, that you would help us continue to build libertycoalitioncanada.com/donate. You can just scan that helpful QR code at the bottom of our page, go over to our website that helps us grow and build. Because listen, we are media. We're a media platform. We are the mediator in this sense between you and a bunch of these companies that you know and love. And there is a place for us as the medium in this situation to help connect up listeners and viewers with various organizations that we can help build up this parallel economy so we can push back, so we can fight the tyranny of our age. And we can only do it if we have leverage within the economy, that we're not wed so much to this centralized power that it's easy for them to crush us, right? Because after the carrot of comfort and ease comes the stick of surveillance and tyranny. And we've talked about that over and over again. So if you see the value in what we do, please go over to libertycoalitioncanada.com/donate, donate, and also please support all those wonderful sponsors and partners that we have over there. It's for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Till next time, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to Liberty Dispatch, a united front to restore liberty and justice in Canada. Please subscribe to our podcast and Rumble channel, as well as visit our website at www.libertycoalitioncanada.com.
Friends, we're posting new content multiple times every week throughout our various shows on this channel. So you're going to want to subscribe to it and hit that notification bell. That way you stay up to date with everything that we're releasing here with the Liberty Coalition Canada.